Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Hello, this is Hillary Hendershot. I'm your host at Profit Boss Radio, and today's episode is going to totally rock your world. Today I have for you a show I'm calling a step-by-step guide to bulletproof your financial plan after geopolitical surprises. I have a lot of people in my Profit Boss Facebook group and even lots of friends and family members saying to me, what should I be looking out for now that something surprising has happened in the world? What does this mean for my investments? Should I sit on the sidelines? Should I wait it out? Should I double down? How do I listen to what I see in the media? What should I do right now, Hillary? So in this episode, I'm going to answer that very question for you. I'm recording this episode in the last week of June 2016, and what happened late last week is that British voters, much to the surprise of the global markets, voted to leave the European Union. And it was a big surprise. So the markets reacted really negatively, and most of the major indexes lost percentage points. So that means most people's portfolios lost value temporarily. So now what I'm going to teach you today is the exact process I use to evaluate these events and how to know what actions you should take to protect yourself and to make darn sure that your financial wealth plan is intact no matter what happens. This process is evergreen. It's universal. And you can use it now, or you can use it to evaluate any future geopolitical event like this. Okay. That said, just like I always say, you shouldn't take anything in this episode as customized advice. If you're not a client of mine, I don't know you. I certainly haven't considered your individual situation. Still, you're going to learn some things today that I think will blow your mind. And I'm coming to you just after the birth of my first baby. For those of you who are not on my email list or not in the Facebook group, first, I'd love to have you in both those places. But my baby's name, my daughter's name is Harlan Nima Simone Hendershot, and she's quite perfect. We're having just a lovely time staying home and being with her and getting to know her and loving on her. I ended up taking off some time before she was born because it turns out I had this condition in my hips that's really normal but somewhat rare during pregnancy. I'm saying it's not like a problem. Some people get it, a lot of people don't, but I got it. So it was getting really hard for me to get around. So I've technically been on maternity leave for about 6 weeks now, even though at the time of me writing this, Harlan is only about 2.5 weeks old. And some of you I know are thinking, lady, what are you doing recording a podcast episode when you just had a baby? And the truth is, I've had lots of people tell me how long of a break I would need or how long I should take, whether that be 6 or 8 or 10 weeks or more. I've had people tell me my priorities would change, that I'd be less focused on work. And I've had people react strongly when I said I was going to come back and record an episode about recent economic events. But you know what? It's so funny. No one says those things to my husband. It's like there's this big pool we put new mothers in, regardless of her situation or her priorities or her desires or her passions or her new baby's personality or needs. But I guess not the dads. Or, you know, maybe you do have those same expectations of fathers. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The gender discrepancy isn't the main point here. It's more of this straitjacket I seem to be in when it comes to some people's expectations of how I should behave right now. Listen, it's going to take me a couple of hours to put together this episode of PBR, to get it into the recording studio and record it, and then boom, I'm done. And frankly, it's going to be one that I refer back to time and time again. This Brexit vote and subsequent market events is the perfect situation to do this in reaction to. And in case you can't tell, I love doing this. It's fun and fulfilling and rewarding for me. And I promise, baby Harlan is really well taken care of. You know, more than that, how about we lighten up on the expectations of new moms? How about that? Support? Yes. Stringent expectations? Seems a little righteous to me. And since Profit Boss Radio is about supporting the empowerment of women, this topic seems right on point. So just take a second and examine your preconceived notions. And hey, be generous when it comes to how you think other people should be, right? Okay, here we go. A step-by-step guide to bulletproof your financial plan after geopolitical surprises. First, a wee bit of backstory on the Brexit. Brexit is the tongue-in-cheek name for the decision of the British people to leave the European Union. There was a nationwide referendum last Thursday, June 23rd, and the Brits voted 52-48% to leave the EU, which is an economic union of European countries. The political and definitional aspects of this event aren't that important here, but what is important for this conversation is what was expected to happen in the stock market after the vote occurred. The fact that the result of the vote was to leave the EU was a huge surprise to investors. And we know this because the market movement in the days before the vote had been really positive. So that's optimism. And since markets hate change, we knew that the wisdom of the crowds, meaning the combined intelligence of the people, was saying that the Brits were going to remain in the EU. So the stock market closed in the US on Thursday afternoon, and then the result came in. And it was a surprise. And the financial news media really went to work on us overnight. By the time the market opened on Friday morning, they were predicting a several percentage point decline in all of the major indexes. The S&P 500 and the Dow Jones are domestic indexes and the most frequently cited European indexes called the FTSE. And of course, that one was supposed to be worse. Again, markets hate surprises. I mean, just think about what happens when Apple misses an earnings estimate, right? So sure enough, markets went down on Friday, but none of the indexes lost double-digit percentages. And then as of the time of this recording, 1 week later, on Thursday, the 30th of June, the domestic indexes have largely recovered, if not recovered fully, and the European large cap index has recovered more than half of its losses. So it's basically like nothing happened. But on Monday of this week, you have people like billionaire George Soros saying in the press that the fallout from this is going to be like another financial crisis of 2008. And there are people making these sensationalist claims during and after every single event like this, really scary claims. And people think to themselves, my God, is he right? Should I sell now? Should I get out? So it's just 3 days later, Thursday of that same week, George Soros says it's going to be a financial crisis and nothing happened. And remember the market dip in January of this year? Actually, Soros said the same crazy things back then too. But in January, the Royal Bank of Scotland was telling people to sell everything. And most of the US media was predicting a recession. And now all of those indexes have recovered. And no one's even mentioning all the people who are on record with false or unfulfilled pessimistic predictions. So again, that's the blow by blow, right? That's what happened. And most of you have been paying attention to best practices in the investment markets for long enough to know that you probably don't sell on Friday, right? The day after the vote. You don't join in the temporary panic and take the chance of buying high and selling low. You don't dump your stocks during the downfall. And I pay really close attention to what people say online in the commentary. And there were posts from a lot of smart, educated, sophisticated people were aligned with that thinking, right? So people now have this understanding that they're in it for the long haul. But, and here's the question we're answering today, what now? What's a conscientious investor to do after an event like this occurs? So now here we are with most experts predicting that Britain's going to take 2 years to fully extricate itself from the EU. So what does that mean that you should do with your investments to acknowledge this event? How can you properly invest going forward and what adjustments should you make? Ready? Here we go. Okay. First and foremost, you need to break all of the things that impact your financial future into two distinct camps. Just two. Camp number one is things you can do something about, and camp number two is things you cannot. So the future of the European Union, you can't do anything about that. Currency exchange rates? Nope, nada. Monetary and fiscal policy here and abroad? Don't even try. The same goes for things like quantitative easing, the presidential election, inflation, the financial crisis, the fiscal cliff, the macro liquidity problems, mortgage-backed security bond failures, the savings and loan crisis, Black Monday, the tequila crisis of 1994. Yes, that is a thing. The Asian banking crisis, the dot bomb of 1999. You can't do anything about those events. No. You can't. Sorry, nada, zilch, zero. They're like the weather. That stuff happens to you. So how do you prepare for the weather? Well, you live in a house with a roof and a working heater. Some of us have air conditioning. You don't park on the street with the top down. You buy an umbrella. And sometimes you carry your umbrella around and you don't end up needing it. And it just sits there in the car, right? In the footwell or in the trunk. Or if you're in Europe, the boot. And sometimes they come in really handy. If you travel to San Francisco as a tourist in the summer, I guarantee you the weather happens to you because you step out of your hotel in shorts and a tank top and you turn into a freaking icicle with your teeth chattering. And then you become part of the multi-billion dollar Pier 39 sweatshirt empire. And by that, I mean, you do what you have to do to deal with the cold weather in San Francisco in the summer and you buy a sweatshirt. Or six of them. In other words, these kinds of things, you prepare for them, you accept them as likely future outcomes, and you just deal. So what are the things that impact your financial future that you can control? Okay, your savings rate, how much you save in tax-deferred accounts, whether your investments are tax-wise. The construction of your investment portfolio is very much within your control and definitely impacts your financial future because that directly impacts your long-run rate of return. And just a few points of difference in that return rate can mean a really big difference for you. So the amount of risk you take in that portfolio is another aspect of it that's within your control. And when you invest smart and you take more risk, you darn well better be getting more expected return. So what else impacts your financial future that's within your control? Whether you have a financial advisor is within your control. The quality of your tax advice, the trade-off decisions you make between having the things you want now and the things, the life that you want later, what kind of estate planning you do, how you minimize risk in your life. I mean, heck, whether you wear your seatbelt on the freeway, the insurance you buy, and the car you drive. All these things are within your control. So you want to get to a place where you rationally view the items in camp number two, the things you can't do anything about, as frankly noise. What I'm saying is that the Brexit and nearly every single geopolitical issue that will come after it are just noise to you. You don't need to pay that close of attention because there's nothing you can do. You don't need to change your life plan because it's going to rain. You know it's going to rain. You just buy an umbrella. I know that sounds like anathema to some of you, and really it's not your fault that this statement I'm making goes against the grain of everything you've learned implicitly and explicitly about how a prudent person manages their money. A lot of the financial journalists out there just need something to print. And there was a time when Wall Street brokers charged a lot of money to strategize for you around the financial crisis du jour, and they played on people's naivete, and they charged investors lots of money for a service they never adequately provided. I'll say various versions of this same thing time and again on this podcast because it's a truth that it really takes time to sink in. So now if you're like most people, you're wondering, what does this mean for the near-term future? I made it through the initial stock market storm, so what do I do now? And of course, the financial press is in infinite discussion about Britain's leaving the EU and their predictions about exchange rates and interest rates and bonds and even some psychological futurism. And that's a term that I made up, but they're calling, you know, the Brexit a vote against the establishment. And what does that mean for the US presidential election? And I'm going to tell you something now, and you're going to think I'm crazy or wrong, but don't change the channel yet. The truth is, all of that stuff is basically hot air. It's like Shakespeare, sound and fury signifying nothing. How do I know that? Well, there's this thing called the efficient market. And that's the stock market, and we describe it as being efficient. And what that means is that the stock market is this great pricing mechanism, and there are so many people trying to accurately predict price movements. The very second information is available to us that stock prices and market values basically do incorporate all the information we have really, really quickly. It's like a prayer request chain, okay? Lots of churches have them. Something bad happens to someone in the parish or congregation, and the prayer chain gets activated. One person calls three, and all those people call three people, and now we're at nine. And all those people call three people, and now we're at 27, and two steps later, we're at 243 people who are involved. That information has traveled really quickly. But information travels amongst market analysts and day traders much faster than that because it's available on the internet. So people aren't calling each other. They're just sitting there getting up to the minute information. And these really smart data and quant heads are trading based on what they make of the information. And that drives prices to the right levels almost instantaneously. So all that talk about impacts on interest rates, that stuff is already worked into bond yields, people. All that talk about currency exchange rates, it's already baked into the relative currency prices. By the time you know about it and can write about it online, it is too late to trade based on that information. And these media commentators and investors and economists who go on record saying that these changes are going to take place down the road, they just aren't acknowledging that simple fact that markets are efficient and information is baked into prices the minute it's available. The markets aren't perfect and the markets aren't even always right. I just told you that the market was voting for a vote to remain before the vote, but they were wrong. It's like when the Golden State Warriors were up 3-1 against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals this year. Very few teams have ever come back from that kind of deficit to win 7 games total and the championship. So most of the world at that point was smart to bet on the Golden State Warriors. But the Cavs came back and took the series. So again, really, really smart people are hard at work integrating all the information we currently have into market prices. That makes the markets efficient, which means they are our best predictor of the true value of the companies whose stocks trade there. So if you're wondering what that means or what this Brexit means for your plans to buy a house or invest in the stock markets, the answer is everything people already know is worked into those prices already. So unless something else happens, there are no more global financial market impacts from the Brexit. You have to remember, prices include all the information we already have, and prices change based on surprise information. Prices don't change based on things going the way people think they'll go. Prices change based on surprises. The thing you need to realize is that we human beings work our way out of the risks we know about. We cured measles. We avoided the disaster that was going to be Y2K, and if you remember the fiscal cliff. We are developing sustainable energy sources. I drive a car that runs on electricity. We figure things out. The risks we really need to worry about are the ones we don't know about. If you're considering holding your money out of the market or pushing off other investments or large purchases you were going to make, assuming those investments are not in something concentrated like pounds sterling, you're telling yourself that you're being strategic and you're waiting out volatility, but you're wrong. Sitting on the sidelines is always a fear play, always. And the fear play only pans out, it only pays off if markets decline. If the markets go up while you're sitting out, you've lost money. But over time, macro markets and values always go up. That's a historical truth. So chances are your fear play is not going to pay off. When someone says to you they're being conservative or biding their time or waiting out uncertainty, they're afraid. And when it comes to investing, your emotions are not your friend. Fear is definitely not your friend. If you have your portfolio or your investments in cash, I want you to go listen to episode 11 of this podcast as soon as you can. That episode's called Women, Technology, and Wall Street, and it's about how we tend to get fooled by the advice we get in this world where information is free but unchecked, unverified. In that episode, I interview an executive from BlackRock Capital about BlackRock's survey results. And those survey results told us that women are at the same time feeling more confident about their financial futures and doing worse things for themselves in their portfolios. So we have unjustified confidence. And I believe that's brought about by the perception that free advice is good advice. Sitting in cash, though, by its very nature, is an activist investment strategy. And I've talked before on the show about the fact that active investing doesn't pay off in the long run. I've got more coming on that in episode 26, which is all about smart investing in index funds versus Wall Street funds and like that. But basically, keeping money on the sidelines just to see how things turn out is a very activist, fear-based strategy. And I don't recommend it. Risk is not bad, my friends and fellow profit bosses. If you do it right, increased risk means increased expected returns. So don't run from something like this without really considering what you're doing. If you're sitting on the sidelines in cash, and let me just use simple numbers here for discussion's sake. So let's say the market went from 10 to 8. And you're afraid it's going to go to 7 or 6 or even 5. But by the time you realize you predicted it wrong, it's back up at 12 or 13. When are you going to buy back in? That's my question to you. You really need to think about this because most people can't stomach the moves here. So the market starts at 10 and George Soros or your buddy at the office tells you, you should sell out. So you sell, but you get out at 8 because that's how market slides go. And now the market goes to 5. And what you don't realize when you sold out at 8 is that you have to be right twice. You have to be right when you sell and when you buy. So are you going to emotionally be ready to buy back in at 5? Most people don't, right? And they wait too long. The market recovers and they miss it and they lose money. Or George Soros told you to sell it at 10. This is probably what would have happened last week. George Soros told you to sell out at 10. You sold out at 8 and it goes back to 9 and then 12 and 13 and it's not coming back down ever. So when are you going to admit defeat? Because you've lost money now no matter what you do. You have to bite the bullet and that's why it's called the loser's game. So don't play it that way. Here's my last hypothetical that it's not going to be hypothetical for some of you. I saw a lot of people commenting online that they were going to take the aggressive play and they were actually going to double down while the market was down. Their plan was to invest more money in the market while it was down. So they were following Buffett's advice to be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. So they're being profiteers at a scary time. It sounds really savvy. Especially in retrospect, because if they were able to get in on Friday, they probably made a profit. Except here's the thing people don't think about, measure, or analyze. Where was that money that they used to buy in? How did they find this extra investment money? Well, it was sitting around somewhere in cash, right? They had what in the investments world would be called dry powder. That comes from the days when guns and cannons used gunpowder and you needed powder lying around to have firepower. But if you have dry powder, that means that money was sitting in cash doing nothing. We have no idea what returns could have and would have been produced with that money if they had invested it according to their plan. Beyond that, unless you manage a successful hedge fund or a huge activist investment portfolio that's producing alpha, I can almost guarantee you that if you're keeping dry powder around for economic crises, you're going to lose money over time because you'll have resources that are not engaged for your benefit. Again, for more on this, please go listen to episode 11 of this podcast, okay? So I promised you a step-by-step guide, and now I'm going to deliver. What's the actual plan here? Here's a guide you can run through right now. It's 4 steps. Number 1, check to make sure you have an intact and up-to-date financial and investment plan. This plan needs to show you being successful in achieving economic independence, by combining a good savings rate with an investment portfolio that incorporates the latest investment research. For more on this, wait for or check out episode 26 of this podcast, where Barbara Friedberg and I delve into that in detail. Step number two, if you don't have an intact and up-to-date financial and investment wealth plan, stop and go create or get one. Step three, now that we know you have a diversified investment portfolio, because step one calls for it, make sure it's rebalanced, because your allocation is critical to performance. So after the Brexit, some of you needed to rebalance. Those investments need to be held in the right proportions. So rebalance, or make sure your financial advisor rebalances. Step four, proceed with your plan, because it's the steps inside the plan that you can control. And for everything else, like the weather, you have your umbrella. It is easy to stick to your plan when times are good, but it gets harder to stick to the plan when times seem bad. And that is when your plan is most valuable. That's it. Just four steps. Pretty easy, right? And that's bulletproof, profit bosses. Lastly, you need to realize that political risks aren't the same. Lastly, I want to clear up another thing that I think is really misleading for people. You need to realize that what's going on in a particular country is not related to its stock market performance. They're almost uncorrelated. In other words, political risks aren't the same as investment risks. And political success does not mean investment success. Just as an example, the top performing country in terms of investments, like its stock market, the top performing country in the world right now, you're not going to guess it. There's no way. But just think, take a second, think in your mind, what country do you think is doing best on the world stage in terms of the stock market? Top performing country right now is the Philippines. And the Philippines has had so much political turmoil, it's actually silly. They've actually had, during this time period, an active guerrilla insurgency, and yet their returns are the highest on the global scale. On the other hand, everybody loves Canada these days. They've got a male model for a prime minister, and apparently they hand out high-quality healthcare like candy to babies. Everybody loves Canada. But Canada was all the way down and ranking at 30th in terms of global stock market performance. So again, these things are unrelated. You can't take what you see and hear in the news about a particular country and guess its stock market performance, because again, all that information is already integrated into the stock prices. And what you need to do is take the time to create an effective and successful plan and follow it. Thank you, Profit Boss, for listening to this episode of Profit Boss Radio. For the transcript of this episode, go to hilaryhendershot.com/25. I encourage you to stay tuned for episode 26, where we're going to talk more about best practices in investing. And for those of you who are interested in learning more about what it is to sit on the sidelines in cash and why that might be a bad idea, again, go back and listen to episode 11 in your podcast player right now. I want to thank those of you who have taken the time to write a review on iTunes. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're just the best. I hope this information is not only informative, but also entertaining and inspirational for you. I mean to finally decode investments for women. My goal and the goal of Profit Bosses Everywhere is to empower and inspire women to take control of their finances and to build wealth that sustains us for our entire lives. Thanks for being here. If you liked this episode, I'm inviting you to join us today in the free private Profit Boss community on Facebook. You don't have to know a super secret password or handshake, but you will benefit from a warm, encouraging, and confidential community who are all there to grow and learn from each other. It's an awesome opportunity to create a classroom out of what you learn here on Profit Boss Radio and in life, and get feedback from how others in the Profit Boss community are achieving financial independence. Some of the really valuable discussions we've had recently in the Facebook group are how to make sure tax time goes super smoothly for you with no stress, what tools people are using to track their spending and make sure they're achieving their financial goals, and also what resources people are using to master their money mind. So plug in and take advantage of the collective wisdom from your fellow profit bosses. Crowdsource the answers to your most important financial questions in a confidential and supportive environment. Just go to HillaryHendershot.com/ProfitBoss. That's HillaryHendershot.com/ProfitBoss. And that link redirects you to a Facebook group. Just request membership and we'll let you right in. It's free. It's cool. It's awesome. It's supportive. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.